Well, welcome. How many got blown away this morning? I did between the car and the front door. Well, let's believe that that's just a picture in the natural of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to blow us away. Amen? Amen. I wrote a few things down just by way of beginning this morning. I just want to thank you for coming. I don't take it for granted. You know, this is, we all have busy schedules. We all have full lives. And so thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for believing enough in Ministers Network Canada, formerly OBFF and CFCM. I suppose we'll say that for a while. Eventually, that'll be so far in the past, we won't say it anymore. But this is a gathering of the, as you know, of our Manitoba, Saskatchewan region for Ministers Network Canada. And we're honored that you're here. Really are. You know, the Bible says, give honor to where honor's due, and honor's due to everybody that says, you know what, I'm going to come and be a part of that. You know, when we were in worship, that scripture verse we all know out of 2 Timothy that says, neglect not the gift that is in you, just came up in my spirit. Anybody ever been accused of being negligent? You know, my wife has accused me of being negligent. Things like, you know, did you pick up your clothes off the, you know. but, you know, as ministers, sometimes we're negligent about really taking the time to make sure that we're built up, we're edified, because if we don't get filled up, we have nothing to give out. And when you start giving out of your, you know, last week, last year's revelation, you know, you're not spending time with God. You're not taking the time to replenish yourself in the things, you're negligent. You're negligent. And we've all been guilty of it. I've been in this a long time. I know. And you know, and I know, and we can put on a good front. Sometimes we get good at that. But it's like Rick said, and I've said this for years, you know, if the Holy Ghost doesn't show up, if the anointing doesn't show up, well, then we might as well go home, right? But as ministers, as preachers, that really has to do with how much we get ourselves filled up. Okay. Anyway, I don't want to preach that right now because it's not what I, but that was in my heart. I want to thank Pastor Brent, and I don't see Pastor Barb. I'm sure she's not too far away, for, you know, graciously allowing us to hold our first sort of gathering here in their new facility. We really appreciate that. And all the Faith Alive team, the worship team that disappeared, and all the helps, staff, leadership, you know, it doesn't go, you know, we're all pastors and ministers, and we know what it's like to do anything. You have to mobilize and activate. So thank you, thank you, thank you for graciously allowing us to be here. And we know God will continue to bless your generosity. I want to thank also Pastor Megan for helping me out. You know, we've been communicating back and forth and making plans, and her team has done a lot of stuff behind the scenes. A lot of the communication that's gone out to you, it's because they did it. If it was up to me, you wouldn't know anything about anything. You know, they built the sign, or they designed that. And, you know, they've just done a lot of stuff. And I really thank you, Megan, for putting up with me. So thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank my wife just because she's such a wonderful lady, and she reminds me, it keeps me on focus, doesn't let me grumble too much. tells me to shut up. And I need that. I need that. Right, Brent? We need that, don't we? Okay. And we're honored and blessed that obviously most of you know probably Rick and Kathy. I'm sure all of you knew David McGrew. And as the leadership team of the national organization, Rick is president along with Kathy, and then Dave and Jean is vice president. They said they would come all the way out to the prairies and be with us in this session. And you know, that's, so thank you for being here. And you know, they assured me this wasn't all about them, you know, because I was willing to say, well, you guys just come and minister to us. And he said, no, that's not what we want to do. We want to be there. We'll participate. We'll be involved. But we're not, this is about us. We've had the privilege of building relationship with, well, I think Dave and I, you know, some people think we're brothers. You know, I'm the taller one, but no, I'm just kidding. And then my wife and I have gotten to know Rick and Kathy in the last few years, mostly out of our mutual acquaintance with Bishop Miller, who's gone on to be with the Lord, most of you know. But it was in our relationship with him that really connected us together. And last few years we got to, well, not the last COVID year, but that's been some time with them annually and got to know them on a personal basis. So, and I just want to say this, that it was with somewhat trepidation but honored that you guys asked us to step into this role as to bring some leadership into the Prairie Division for Ministers Network Canada. I wasn't jumping up and down to do it. You know, I mean, the reality is I got asked to do it. I said yes. And then I tried to die twice that year. I ended up in the hospital about a week after Dave asked me with blood poisoning. And they said I would have been in a coma in 2 hours if I hadn't come in. And then, as most of you know, 8 months later, I had a heart attack and had to drive myself to the hospital having a heart attack, and God spared my life. And that was the mighty hand of God. I'm not really here to talk about me, but that's what happened after I got asked to. But God kept me alive, so there must have been a reason, right? You're praying for me. Okay, praise the Lord. We're doing good. Let me just say this right up front. I know the Holy Spirit's got, he's planned something for you and for me in this time together. He always does. We tell that to our people when they come to church on Sunday, and I'm telling that to you. We've gathered here for this day. But we actually decided to call this Connect Day the gathering because I really believe the significance is that we're coming together, gathering together with an expectation that God's going to talk to us. And you know what? We've been in a season where coming together was what we don't do. I guess I can take this off. That's good. There you go. Now I'm really here. Thank you. I'm really good. I forget to put it on when I'm supposed to wear it. I forget to take it off. So I tell my wife the other day, we're trying to honor the government. And when we preach, we don't wear it. But when I go down and pray for people, I put it on. Well, the other day, on television, everything, I just forgot about my mask, went and prayed for it. I'm not really worried about it. But I'm telling everybody, let's be honorable. Let's do what we're supposed to do. And I'm not doing it. So anyway, okay. Praise the Lord. It's all good. Let's really lift up our faith and believe God that when we come away from today, tonight, that we'll really receive what God has for us. I want you to believe for connections. This is really about relationship. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but believe God for, some of the these opportunities you can connect with other ministers, and God can set up some things just in the fellowship that could be hugely significant for your ministry. Let's believe God for direction. Come with the expectation that you're going to hear a word, encouragement. And ask the Holy Spirit, God, the word that I need to hear, illuminate it to me. Let me see it. Let me hear it and know that that's a word for me. And I believe that if you'll do that, God won't disappoint you. I want to read a passage in Colossians 1. You're all familiar with this. Rick got on it in our Sunday service yesterday, but this has been on my heart for a while. So this is going to be the introductory scripture verse for our whole time together. Paul writes, as he's praying for the Colossian church, beginning in verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled." Everybody say filled. Filled with what? With the knowledge of his will. Filled. My prayer for us is that you'll come away with the knowledge of his will. And it qualifies that in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, I often like to say wisdom is what resides in us. God's downloaded wisdom into our life. You know, wisdom is the ability to know what to do at any given season in life and any circumstance, any difficulty. And then a lot of you have a lot of wisdom, but it says in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, there's things in the moment, and if we've ever been in a season when we need to be hear from God, know what he wants us to do, there's all kinds of things coming our way in the season ahead. We need to hear from God. So my prayer, our prayer for one another, is that you'd be filled with the wisdom of God and that he would download in your spirit understanding so that you would know what to do. Because it goes on, it explains why it's important. And I know you know this, you're all preachers, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work. You know, I'm convinced a lot of times that we don't have fruit is because we got on a track and then we didn't hear God and we just stayed on that track. But God wants to, you know, he wants to direct us so that we walk worthy, fruitful in every good work. Fruitful. We want our ministries to be fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's just, you know, this is the ABCs. And strengthened with all might. Oh, Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen us with all might according to your glorious power. Just pour it out on us as we meet today, Lord, as we meet and tonight, and just pour out your glorious power in our midst. Amen. So anyway, I just want that to be cemented into our hearts. Now, I had the responsibility and I guess the benefit of putting the schedule together. So I put myself up first, mostly because I wanted to get it out of the way, be honest with you, so that I didn't, you know, it's hard to kind of facilitate and organize things when you're thinking about ministry. I do have a word I believe God gave for us. And I'm going to try to give it to you. I need to, first of all, get my iPad to behave. There we go. Look at that. It's going to work. We have a group of people in our church that meet with us every Friday night to pray. We've been doing it for a while, and some of our ladies and my wife have been doing it for a long while, but we've been engaging, and these are prayer warriors that really have a sense of call to come and pray. And so we're 18, 20 people Friday night for a couple hours, and then on the odd occasion we'll extend it for a longer period of time. So at the end of our prayer session on Friday, I asked them to lay hands on me and just that what God would just clarify what he wanted me to share with you. Because I've got about, I had at least three or maybe even four different things I felt like I could share. But I just really wanted to know what God wanted me to say. And of course, you know, you're pastors, a lot of you, and ministers, and that should be the attitude we all have when we stand to minister the word of God. But so I'm thinking, you know, I got this stirring in my heart, and I got this stirring in my heart. And my friend, Pastor Brand, he stirred me up. He went and shot the biggest buck on my property that anybody's ever shot. And so now I'm in competition. So I'm sitting out there in the deer blind. You got to get out there like at least a couple hours before anything's moving, just so you're quiet. So I'm thinking, well, I'm going to go sit out in the deer blind and hear from God. It's a good place to hear from God, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe you don't hear from God out there. Maybe that's why you get the deer. I'm too busy hearing. No. But anyway, I'm my friend Jim Christian, his wife Shelley's here, and he'll be here later. He's over in the other blind shooting the deer, and I'm here hearing from God, you know, who's spiritual. But anyway, the Lord just began to talk to me. And so this is deer blind theology, I'm going to call it. I heard it said, just so you know, Brent, your pulpit's too tall and too big. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm teasing. I heard this said years ago. I can't remember who said it. It might have been our pastor at Christian Center years ago. But when God wants to bless you, he sends someone into your life. And when the enemy wants to attack, he sends someone into your life. The people in our lives are way more significant than sometimes we actually allow or even acknowledge, for good or for bad. Now, I'm not really going to talk about for bad. I'm going to talk about for good. But the reality of it is that if we don't properly receive and intersect the relationships that God brings into our lives, we will not and cannot fulfill the plan of God for our life. This is my premise. I want to talk about this for a while. And God, I mean, a lot of things I'm going to say, they're not new things to me, but God just kind of brought it to me in a fresh way and said, I want you to talk about this. And I put a lot of notes together. I'm usually really, really organized in my note making. That's just kind of the way I like to do when I'm preaching. And then I don't look at them half the time anymore. But this is a little bit, you know, here and there. But my heart's prayer is that God will enable me to say what we need to hear. And each one of us will hear something significant. I want to sort of outline what I'm going to say to do by looking at a little bit of the life of the Apostle Paul. And I know you're preachers and teachers, so I don't really want to try to instruct you in the Bible today too much. I'll refer to some verses and maybe read a couple of them because you guys are, you know the Bible. I understand that. You wouldn't be in this room if you didn't know the Bible. And it's not like that we all can't get new revelation. Of course we can and we should. But if we look at Paul, of course he was Saul in the beginning of the story. In his encounter in Acts chapter 9, he had an encounter with Jesus on the road, right? We know that. It changed his life. He was zealous for God, but he was going in the wrong direction, and he had this encounter. We know it. He's blinded. He hears a voice. He sees Jesus himself. And Jesus confronts him and said, why are you persecuting me? What, you're opposing everything that I am. And in that moment, in that encounter, he realizes that, I mean, he's just been moving in the wrong direction. He has this incredible encounter. Just about every man and woman of God that I know that have called into the ministry can talk about that encounter they had when God really got a hold of their life and set them on the course that ultimately led them into their full-time ministry. So I would imagine most of the people in this room could probably tell a testimony about, you know, that encounter, that initial, and then, you know, subsequent encounters. So we're not too unlike Saul, and maybe you were running from God. Who knows? All our stories are different. But I want you to realize something significant. When he had that encounter, he was left blinded. He didn't know where he was going. He couldn't. I mean, even physically, he was blinded. And God, the first thing he did is he sent him to a man. He said, and actually, it was a setup. He'd already visited Ananias and told him about what he was doing to Paul. And said, and Ananias' response was, I've heard about this guy. He's a bad dude. He's killing our people. He's arresting. And of course, Ananias was already a believer, and he heard from God, and God said, no, he's a chosen vessel of mine. You know the story. But I want you to understand, I want to tell you that Paul could not get to where he was going apart from connection and relationship. Now, a lot of people will, and I've got this in my notes later. This is why I told them. I gave them a hard copy of my notes, and then I said, don't count on this really telling you anything about how this is going to go. And, you know, people quote out of Galatians 1 and 2, you know, Paul stands up and says, you know, I sought no man. But actually, Paul, his total development into ministry and life is all about the connections and relationships he has. Paul's not this independent, do-it-all-by-myself guy that some people try to, you know, suggest he is. Yes, you see, your call has to come from God. No man can call you. No man can give you a call, but once you have the call, if you don't get rightly connected, you'll never fulfill the call. You can't. And really the whole premise, and I'm going to take you a few different directions here, because we got people at different stages in ministry in this room, and I want to try to touch on all those in the short time I have. But let me just say this, that if you don't actually allow the Holy Spirit to develop the connections and relationships along the course of your assignment, you're going to get stuck. You're going to get disenfranchised. You're going to find yourself spinning your wheels, to use some euphemisms. You're going to find yourself frustrated and unable to move into the next season. Now, I'm not suggesting, and you'll see that, you know, you just have to keep changing relationships to get, no, there's some relationships that probably are for life, like husband and wife. And there's some ministry relationships that can and should be for life. But God will bring the right people in the right season. And I've looked back at my life, and, you know, I have the advantage now of a few years behind me. Not quite as many as Rick and Dave, but getting close. And I wrote a list out of the people that God's brought into my life in seasons who really had a significant impact. It's about a dozen names. And every one of them was used for a specific season of my life to get me to where I needed to go. And brothers and sisters, this soul was put in my heart. There's that we need to actually ask ourselves, are we rightly connected? You know, I really believe that a big part of the whole vision of an apostolic ministry network is creating, I like to use this term, a wineskin, where proper relationships can be like. We're not going to designate relationships. That's not what we do. But it's in this interaction. We got people of, you know, we're not all the same, but we're of like precious faith. And God will connect you. Now, I'm not saying that he can't connect you outside of this. I've got relationships outside of this. But within our fellowship, as it grows, connections are going to be made, and they are going to be the key to you getting where you need to go. You believe that? I believe that. You know, when he met with Ananias in the beginning, he prayed for him, he laid hands on him, and he received the Holy Spirit. Like he was, I mean, really, he was establishing God. And if we know a bit of, you know, and the scripture gives us some insight and some things we kind of almost have to fill in, but, you know, the Bible tells us that he went out preaching right away. And he boldly in Damascus began to boldly proclaim the gospel. Well, man, he got his butt kicked. He didn't know what he was getting in for. I mean, the devil wasn't bothering him when he was killing Christians. But I'll tell you what, they rose up against him. The Jews rose up against him. As a matter of fact, he ended up, you know, having to flee for his life. They lowered him in a basket over the wall. And you know, can you imagine, you know, getting on fire for God? And then the Jews wanted to kill him. How many preachers here felt like they wanted to kill you? I'm a little bit joking, but not really. You know, I've had people in our ministry that I think did want to kill me. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9 that Barnabas showed up. Barnabas was Paul's senior in the Lord. People think Paul was the senior. He wasn't. It's just from the other end of the story, we see all the significance of Paul's call. But at that time, Barnabas was the established one in the Lord. And Paul was, you know, the young one coming up that didn't know nothing about nothing about nothing. And God sent Barnabas to him. And we know back in Acts chapter 4 that they changed his name from Joseph to Barnabas, which meant son of consolation or son of encouragement. God sent an encourager to Paul because Paul probably would have quit. Paul probably never would have made it. There's some people in the ministry, young people here, who you've been trying to step out into what you believe God's calling you into, and you need some encouragement. Because it isn't all fun and games. Matter of fact, it's rarely fun and games. Because it's not a game and it isn't about fun. It's all right to have fun. We like to have fun with our friends. But ministry is not really about fun. It sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just funny. but some of you, and this is by the Holy Ghost, some of you more seasoned men and women of God, you need to ask yourself, are you encouraging the ones that God's sending you to encourage? Because this is a two-sided coin. You know, we're called to receive and we're called to give out. And I know as pastors, those of you that are pastors here, you know, you're looking after the sheep, but I'm talking about other ministers, other people that have a call into the ministry. Barnabas took Paul, Saul still really, and introduced him to the church in Jerusalem because they'd heard about him and they didn't want to have anything to do with him. He was a bad dude. You know what? Your reputation will go before you for good or for bad. And when you're young in the Lord, you might have a bad reputation. You might have come out of some ugly stuff. Or you may have been through some things in your ministry and it's put a bit of a dent in your reputation. What you need is somebody who knows you and believe in you to say, no, this is who this person really is now. Most people in ministry somewhere along the line need someone to give them credibility. You know, they do. That's a God thing. You know, Rick and Dave wouldn't have asked me to do this if they didn't know me. It's more important that someone knows who you are than what you say. You know, anybody that can get a concordance and has half a brain can get up and preach a pretty good message. Sorry. I've listened to people teach and thought, that's good, but their life was nothing. It's way more important that someone knows who you are and can give credibility to who you are. Because if who you are is that you're right with God and you're called of God and you're legitimate before God, God will get into you what he wants to get into you so that he can get it out of you. It only came out once. It's way more important who you are than what you say. So, it's way more important about who you are. But it's not just important about who you are. To get you to where God wants you to get, somebody needs to be able to say, I know who this guy is. And you know, here we are in this room. You know, as we get to know one another, and there's a gift in you, you know. You know, you ought to call that brother because that brother has got something to offer there. But no relationship, that doesn't happen. So, but we see this in the beginning of life in Paul. Now, I mean, I'm just going to kind of bounce around because I know I'm going to run out of time. I want to talk for a few moments. I didn't think I was going to do this until this morning when I got up and was going through this again, but I am going to do this. We've got some men and women in this room that are either just into the ministry or believe you have a call. We got some Bible school students. We got some younger couple. You know you have a call. I remember that season of my life when I knew I had a call in the ministry. My wife and I knew. I used to say to people, we just didn't know how to get there. But really, we were God was working things into our life to put us into the ministry, and what he needed to do was connect us in the right relationships. And so I want to talk to you if that's where you're at for a moment, because although I'm probably talking to everybody in the room, because you say, well, hey, I'm in my 50s, I'm in my 60s, you know, I'm not just getting into this. Yeah, but you may be key at getting somebody else into this, especially if you've got some experience behind you. So, you know, this really speaks to all of us. We know Luke 16, it says, he who's faithful in least will be faithful in much. You know, God knows that verse too. He wrote it. He is unjust in the little things, will be unjust in the bigger things. God knows that about you. Therefore, if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And I believe the true riches is the anointing of God. And then it goes on and says, if you're faithful in what belongs to another, God will give you your own. Now, let me just park there for a sec. There's two things, it seems, that God holds probably at the highest level of judging that you're faithful. What you do with your money and what you do in relationship to serving another man. Those are two things. You know, it's interesting about Barnabas. What qualified Barnabas back in Acts chapter 4, he sold a piece of land and gave it to the work of the church. He was actually did what God wanted him to do with his money. It's interesting, isn't it? And then he came and was willing to serve another man's call. Paul. Two things. Isn't that interesting? If you have never served another man, if you've never served another man, there's a part of you that hasn't been developed. Now, some of us, you know, I mean, the Apostle Paul, I don't know. Like, I think some of the struggles he got into, if you want my opinion, is, you know, God put him in the ministry at the beginning of the church age, and he was isolated from them. And I think he went through some difficulties because he didn't grow up under another man's ministry, but, you know, God was just getting things going. And some of you in this room, you know, you got into the ministry, God called you, there was no one raising you up, and I'm not speaking against you, but I just want you to let you know that that's not God's highest and best. God's highest and best is that you would serve somebody. And you know what? It isn't, well, how many years do I have to serve? No, you have to serve until God says that season is up. David says, till you're dead. Is that why I just almost died? No, I'm just kidding. You know, there's something about serving another man. And, you know, most of you know me well enough to know, and my wife, that, you know, we served under Pastor Keith Johnson for well over a decade. And I know it left us in a completely different position to be able to plant the church. We're going on 20 years since we planted City Center Church. And everything about what happened in the first 5 or 6 years and the open doors of that ministry was a result of serving another man. I know that. I know that there wasn't a day in those first years that I didn't ask myself, what would my pastor do? What would my pastor do? Because I walked with him through a lot. I didn't have any idea what he went through a lot of times because I wasn't carrying the load. But I watched and learned and watched and learned and watched and learned. I'm here, young men and women of God. Make sure you're rightfully connected in this season, because what you do in that season will absolutely determine the future of your ministry. The revelation you have of the word is important. The gift that God's put in you is key, the call. But those relationships and being willing to walk alongside and serve another man is so significant. And you know, some of you may have said, well, you know, I served another man's vision and that didn't end well. And maybe that wasn't the fault of your own. But don't just assume because of that, that you just need to jump out and do it. You know, Paul told Timothy, don't neglect the gift in you that was given to you by the word of prophecy and the laying on of hands. God's plan for full-time ministry, young people, is that someone would put you and send you into the ministry. And if the enemy can convince you to go and do it on your own, outside of the relationships God's given you, he'll do it, and you'll think that you're going to aspire to great things. But I promise you, there's going to be a lot of heartache. I'm just being honest. I don't know who this is for. I'm not aiming at anybody. Believe me, I just felt like God wanted me to say that. There's some young people in this room. I know we got some Bible school students here, so maybe it's for you. Let me read what Paul said about Timothy. He said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions that happened to me at Antioch. Obviously, Paul had some difficulties in Antioch, in Iconium and Lystra. what persecutions I endured. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You know this. Yes, and all who desire to live godly will suffer persecutions. Then he goes on and he says, he talks about the evil men and impostors that would come and did come. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them. It's not just what you know, it's from whom you learned them. From whom you, he said, you must continue in those things. You need to serve long enough before that's in you so that you can continue in that. You know, if you got all your revelation from, you know, this one and that one and this one and that program, and, you know, I mean, we have access to all kinds of information, good information on the internet. But if you got it all apart from relationship, there's going to be something missing. You may have all the right sayings. You may be able to quote all the right scripture verses. You may have the right doctrine down. But if you got it apart from relationship, something is going to be missing. Because you know what? Revelation, there's an impartation that comes out of that relationship. I know people have difficulty with it. They say, well, I've heard from God. I got a word from God. I know the, but the ministries that really become impactful, something is imparted them out of relationship earlier on in their ministry. Some of you in this room, oh man, it's by the Holy Spirit. Some of you in this room, and I'm not aiming at anybody, believe me, I'm just trying to say what the Holy Spirit, some of you in this room, you know, you need to spend less time trying to build your church and more time trying to build the people that God's brought to you for the season ahead. You know, you might put one or two people in the ministry, and that would be the significance of your assignment. I'm talking about some of the more mature people in this room. You know, we want a big crowd, but if we can have a handful of people that have served in relationship long enough that something is imparted for the next generation, we'll have done more than a big crowd. Now, I'm not sure where that came from. Hopefully the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote, and this has been quoted a lot, and sometimes I think it's overused, but I'm going to use it anyway so that I can be among the overusers if you want to call me that. But I'm in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul's talking to the Corinthian church who, you know, he had all kinds of issues and troubles with them, and he had to come down pretty strong. He said, I'm not writing you these things to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children, for even if you had 10,000 other teachers or others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ when I preached the good news to you. So I urge you to imitate me. Now, the teaching on, you know, fathers and sons, some of that I think has been overextended. But let me see if I can't pull out of the heart of it what he's saying. First of all, he's saying, doesn't matter how many teachers you have. Nobody's going to have 10,000 teachers. That's not a numerical thing. That's the fact is, you know, there's lots of people out there that can teach you. And it's not even a problem that they teach you. But it's not what's going to be significant in your life. It's the relationship you have with somebody who's willing to invest their life in you that you're actually saying, I want to imitate them. Now, we're following Jesus. We're not, you know, Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. So we're not asking you to become a man pleaser and a man follower. That's not what, don't get the wrong spirit of it. But there ought to be somebody in your life that you say, I'd like to be like them? There's something in them that I can imitate. Now, I understand, you know, there was a season in my life where God was taking me. I had to move into some new relationships. I'm going to get there in just a second. And the man of God that I'd been following for a long season, he wasn't going to be able to take me in some areas where I needed to go. But that wasn't in the beginning. That wasn't in the beginning. So I want you to understand that your connection to human relationship and ministry is everything. It is, your call is the foundation. Paul had that encounter, but the relationships God brought into his life along the way. Now, we know that him and Barnabas had a falling away. And, you know, we could get into a conversation about it. I think Paul was wrong. I think Barnabas is right. I think the issue with Barnabas was John Mark, who later Paul acknowledged was useful to him, and he asked him to send him to him when he was in prison in Rome because he said, he's valuable to me in the ministry. He never would have had that value out of John Mark if Barnabas hadn't poured into his life. Paul was ready to reject him. So I think Barnabas was in the right, but maybe Barnabas' season with Paul was over. We know that Silas showed up. Now, things were different. Paul had already been set in the ministry. God had probably worked out a lot in his life. And if you read through Acts chapter 15, 16, 17, it was Silas and Paul, Silas and Paul, Silas and Paul. We know all about Paul, but they were together. They became a team. And there's seasons in your ministry where now it's not about you being mentored and being led. It's about working together in ministry. Paul needed to move to a place where he could partner in ministry. And some of us have been too alone and we're not partnering. And I'm not even talking about pastors. You know, I met Brent. Brent met me. We knew about each other and avoided each other for like a decade, right? He told me he'd see me in Starbucks and say, oh, that's Jim Randall. And then he'd walk away. I never did that. I didn't know who you were. I knew your name. But you know, when Brent asked me to come and be a part of what he was doing with Prairie Fire, some of you know what that is, the group, you know, we began to do some things together and God built a relationship. And God birthed that in his heart. But when he shared it with me, I said, this is in my heart too. And along with other some of you in this room and other ministers that aren't part of our network, we began to do some things together in ministry. There's things that you will never do as a church and as a pastor, if you're a pastor, if you don't have the right partnership relationships. Paul needed Silas. A big chunk of his next season of ministry was about the partner relationship. So ask God, if you're in that season of ministry, are you partnering with the people you need to partner? You know, Brad's been with me for, I think we landed on Mount Ararat together. No. And that relationship is valuable. He has a very different call than me. He's an evangelist. I'm apostolic and have been a lead pastor. But we worked together and bumped heads and, you know, pushed each other out of the way and worked through, you know, but we love one another, but we've partnered together. And then as Brad launched Canadian Fire and I encouraged him to do it, I've watched God bring new relationships for ministry into his life. He comes back, I remember when he first told me about it, I thought, well, I don't know them. You know, I mean, I never said that to him, but I thought, you know, in my flesh, I was dumb enough to think, well, who, but you realize, you know, in seasons, God begins to partner you. Brad will come back with just about every trip overseas, and God connected me with this one, and I think, amen. That's the way God wants to do it, you know, and some of those will be really significant. I can see that for Brad's assignment, be significant, and it's not just about opening doors, it's about going through doors together. Relationships, it's everything. So there are seasons where you know, we have to, you know, if you read the sort of the progression and Acts of Paul and Silas, it kind of culminates with them together in the Philippian jail. How many know they were glad they had somebody to pray together, to worship together? Because in that agreement together, God broke them out of that jail. But that's a good picture. Having the right connections will give you a breakthrough. Having the right relationship will give you a breakthrough. You may be stuck and not breaking through because you don't have the right connection. And so, you know, we just follow Paul. We see how God put things together in his ministry. You know, the season with Barnabas changed. Barnabas was raising up, you know, a John Mark to serve Paul later. But Paul and Silas were partnering for breakthrough. Some of you, some of us, it's coming together like this that will birth some partnerships. Be open to that. Go sit with somebody at lunch you don't know. Maybe God will connect you to somebody. Okay, I got to move on here. I spent too long in the deer blind. You know, as we mature in ministry, you know, I value my wife. My wife values me. We stir one up another up to good works. Mostly she to me. She's always doing good works. But I need friends in the ministry. I need friends. And that's a kind of an odd word. It almost seems like a secular word. Somebody that I'm willing to get close enough that I can be transparent with. Somebody that I'm willing to tell the struggles I go through. Say, will you pray for me? Just the fact that you can tell somebody puts it in the light. Do you know that as soon as you tell something that's going on in your life to somebody, you put it in the light? Walk in the light as he is in the light. That's why in James it says, you know, if you sin, confess your sins to one. That doesn't mean, you know, go into the box with the priest. Sorry if you're anybody's Catholic in this room. He means be honest, because you bring, we bring into the light. And you know, it doesn't mean you've got this pet sin. It could just simply mean that you've been working, struggling through something, and it's a weight on you. And just being able to tell somebody that you can trust, that's not going to judge you about it, or is there anybody in your life? I was talking to my friend Jim, Shelley's husband, Jim Christian, the other day, and I said, Jim, you know, we all have to have somebody who we're willing to let tell us the things that we don't want to hear. When's the last time you let somebody tell you something you didn't like, other than your wife? And she probably does that enough anyway. But there's some things that your spouse probably can't tell you that another man or woman of God, I'm talking about men to men, women to women. You need to have somebody that can talk like that to you. If you don't, you're going to get off. It's not, you might get off, you will get off. I don't know how many back in the, what was it, late 90s or early 2000 that book God's Generals came out. How many have read it? God's Generals, yeah, most of us in here, a lot of us. The saddest part about that whole book is all those men of God that didn't end well. And I'll guarantee you, if not every one of them, 90% of them is because they reached a point in their life where no one could tell them anything. And so when they started to get stuck, when they started to lose traction, when the plan of God was headed this way, but then God wanted them to turn, they just kept going, and they were headed into a dead end. And someone tried to tell them, they wouldn't listen because they didn't have the relationship or the relational equity, we like to use that term, that would allow them to listen. And let me just tell you this. If you've got those kind of relationships, realize God might need you to be that person to talk into somebody's life. Brothers and sisters and ministers network, that's what this is about. You know, in Galatians 1 and 2, Paul talks about his two trips to Jerusalem because people think that you know, and he begins and about his call was from God and he said, well, you know, I went up, I only talked to Peter, and then the second time he talked to James, and Peter and James, and there's something in Paul that wanted some affirmation. Although he said, my call isn't from them, but it was good that they agreed that I was called to the Gentiles and they were called to the Jews. They understood that. So Paul intuitively knew that was a good thing. But it's kind of interesting. I mean, he didn't spend a lot of time with Peter. He said he was, you know, 3 weeks the first time, and I'm not sure how long the second time. But he actually said, I got in Peter's face and told him he was wrong. Because they were wanting them to follow the Jewish laws. They were falling back into Judaism. Paul said, I confronted him. And I told him. Relationship. He had enough relationship. Peter, at that point, needed to hear from Paul. So there might be somebody you're in relationship that has been encouraging with you, but they may need to hear from you. There's two guys that show up in the Bible, and I just want to look at it real quickly here, and I'm going to close because I'm running out of time. I don't even know. I can't remember the schedule. I made it, and I can't. When do we say this is done, Megan? Neither one of us know. You guys are in big trouble. So you asked me to lead this thing, eh? In 2 Timothy 1, Paul talks about, praise that the Lord would grant mercy to the household of, how do you pronounce his name, David? I keep thinking I know, and then when I look at it, I can't pronounce it. Onesiphorus? How do you pronounce his name? Somebody tell me. Jonathan, you know. Who? Okay, that Forrest guy. You can tell I'm the Greek scholar in the crowd here. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him mercy that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus. So when Paul was in Ephesus, he built this relationship, and the relationship was so strong, he had this friend. Now, I don't know. It doesn't quite say it that way. I guess maybe a Greek scholar might know better than me. I don't know whether he went all the way to Rome just to find Paul. It almost gives you the impression because he was zealously looking for him. I don't know if he had any other reason to be in Rome, but there's relationships, you know, that if you need them, they're going to be there. I know when my friend Ted had a stroke, I flew all the way to Halifax just to spend time with him. I never preached. I went there to spend time with him. We spent a week just, and after he got out of the hospital and was able to get around, then I was able to just spend some time. We had a relationship. We, you know, we'd ministered together, we'd served together, but he needed a friend in that moment. So we need those kind of relationships, ministers, men and women of God. Don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself. And then, of course, Paul in Philippians 2 talks about his friend Epaphroditus. I can pronounce his name. I guess he was a Greek. He said, yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. So I won't read anymore. There was a special relationship that came out of, you know, that was forged over time. And Epaphroditus was helping Paul and serving Paul. And you know, we don't know a lot about it, but it was significant to Paul. It wouldn't be in the scriptures. Are those significant relationships in your life? You might have the Silas you minister with, but do you have, you know, Epaphroditus or that forest guy? It's not my friend. I don't have to know his name. So as I conclude here, men and women of God, don't isolate yourself. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. You'll do what you want to do then. And that you rage against wise judgment. Don't try to stand alone. Ephesians 6 says, doing all to stand. Part of doing all to stand is the relationship. And don't disconnect from God's planned relationships just because you get mad at somebody. Because if you're in enough relationship with somebody, this is a whole nother topic, they'll tick you off somewhere along the line. Most of you know that or you wouldn't still be married. But even in ministry, there's going to be, you know, guys that'll come into your backyard and shoot your big deer. Like, what do you do with them? God's got connections for every season of your life. Embrace them, receive them, minister back to them, and you'll be able to walk into all that God's called you to. Amen, amen.